The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us from our gospel lesson for the day, from John chapter 8, particularly where Jesus says unto the Jews, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Jews asked Jesus, "Who do you make yourself out to be?" And while it's easy for us as Christians, sitting where we do, to simply look bad upon the questions that these Jews who were opposed to Jesus asked all the time, today we must admit that their question did have some basic level of reasonableness based on the literal meaning of what Jesus had just said. For Jesus had just said that those who kept his word would not see death. And the Jews could not believe that statement. It was in their minds an absurd claim that Jesus had made. For even the prophets and Abraham, with all of the words that they spoke directly from the mouth of the Lord, still died. Who was Jesus making himself out to be? Was he claiming to be better than Elijah? Was he claiming that his words had more power than those of Abraham, the father of their faith? Who was he making himself out to be? This is the question we gather to ponder on this Trinity Sunday as well. Who exactly is it that Jesus makes himself out to be? We must start by saying that Jesus makes clear that his words, which he speaks, are not about making him out to be anything that he is not. But rather, his words are about revealing who he truly is in relationship to his Father. But who exactly is that? Well, Jesus makes some pretty bold claims in our text for the day. And before our text for the day in this same conversation, he makes claims that nearly got him stoned at the end of his speaking then. He told the people that only those who knew him knew the Father. He said that those who rejected him indeed were children of the devil and not children of the Heavenly Father they tried to claim. And then he made that claim, which we just read, that really fired up all those people listening to him. He claimed that Abraham, the father of the Jewish faith, had looked forward to seeing Jesus' day, and had seen it, and had rejoiced in it. The people could not believe that Jesus could speak in a way that sort of seemed to assume that Abraham and Jesus lived at the same time, or at least had seen one another in some way. But to their disbelief that was running through their mind, Jesus simply added this phrase, which likely confused them more. He said, "Before Abraham came into being, I was," or "I am," rather, excuse me. The scholars try to pick apart this statement of Jesus to make it mean all sorts of different things. But there's no doubt when you read it of the basic claim that Jesus was making. He was claiming to be superior to Abraham. And in the Jewish faith, there was only one such figure who was greater than Abraham. Who was it that existed before Abraham came into being and yet was still present that day when Jesus was standing before them? The Eternal One. Who was greater than the one who had received all the promises of God? The giver of those promises. Who indeed was greater than the prime example of manhood? Abraham himself, his creator. Many people think that when Jesus responded by saying that "I am" before Abraham was, that he was trying to make a direct claim that the people would understand that he was truly God. It was, after all, his Father who first revealed himself to Abraham as "I am." But either way, the claim of Jesus was clear. Not only was Jesus making himself out to be superior to Abraham, But in so doing, he was claiming equality with God himself. Who did Jesus make himself out to be? God, plain and simple. Whether he implied it or whether he outright said it, we will leave the scholars to battle. But we will be content today to confess that Jesus indeed claimed to be God. It was a claim that obviously upset the hearers in our text, those that were standing there with Jesus that day. In fact, it upset them so much that they began to pick up stones that were laying around the temple to kill him. And it is a claim that still infuriates in our day those who are not the Father's children. In our day and age, you can believe anything you want about Jesus except that he is God. Good teacher? Okay. Fine man? Sure. A prophet? Well, if you must. But God? No. But you see, those of us that hold the scriptures to be the very word of God confess that which most others scoff at. We believe that Jesus, the man walking around the earth in this text, was God himself. And not just that he was a God, but rather that he was the one and only true God in human flesh. Today on this Trinity Sunday, we stop to confess two central biblical truths. First, we confess that there is but one God. And secondly, we confess that the Father is God, that the Son is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. And we use that term Trinity, which the church has used for hundreds and hundreds of years, to bring those two biblical truths into one concept. One God, three persons, Trinity. Why is it that we believe such an odd and mind-boggling thing about our God? Well, ultimately we believe it because it was Jesus who said, before Abraham came into being, I am. In other words, we don't believe in the Trinity in order to sound smart or mysterious. We don't believe in the Trinity because we completely understand it. We believe in the Trinity because Jesus has said it. He said that he was God. He called the one that he prayed to Father God. And he promised to send the Spirit who was of God and from God. Yes, we believe in the Trinity because Jesus himself revealed it to us. Who did Jesus make himself out to be? God. One of the three persons of the Godhead, the Blessed Trinity. But why is it that that claim bothers people so greatly? Why did it bother the first people, and even more importantly for us, why does it still bother people today? Well, particularly in our day, it seems that there are two main reasons why people are really at odds with the statement that Jesus is God. First, our world is so concerned with reason and rationale that everything has to be able to be understood before it can be believed. People in our day and age simply refuse to believe things they can't fully understand. But we as Christians admit that the Trinity is hard to understand, if not impossible. But yet we also recognize that Christ calls us not to simply believe in those things that we can understand, but to believe in everything that he reveals to us as true. But there is an even more powerful problem with Jesus' claim to be God that the world seems to find. For you see, if one accepts Jesus' claim to be God, then you must also accept his words as the truth. And to many people, that is a scary and restrictive possibility. It is scary because they know that if they accept Jesus as God, it means realizing that some of their own words and their own thoughts are false, if Jesus' words are true. It is restrictive because they think that the acknowledgement that there is one truth means by living by all sorts of rules and regulations that one who is true sets up. They know that if there is truth, they must either conform themselves to that truth or live in open opposition to what they know to be true. But for those of us that know Jesus by faith, we know that Jesus' claim to be God is not something that is scary, not something that is restrictive at all. But rather, his claim again to us today is both comforting and freeing. It is comforting because we understand through his words that he is a gracious God who has come down to this world to save us, to die our death, and to give us his life. And we understand further that God has not come into this world in order to restrict us with rules, but rather to guide us through his word into the abundant life. Yes, we rejoice with the triune God that indeed he has come in the flesh, that we might not only have the mystery of the Trinity to ponder this day, but also be confident of the love that Trinity has for each of us. One prominent church leader put it this way: what has Jesus brought? The answer is very simple. God. He has brought God. He has brought God, and now we know his faith, and now we can call upon him. Indeed, God, Jesus has brought God, and with God the truth about where we are going and where we come from. Yes, on this Trinity Sunday, we stop to answer that question that those Jews asked in our text. Who does Jesus make himself out to be? And we recognize that the answer is that Jesus makes himself out to be exactly who he is and who he has been from all eternity. God, Son of the Father, one with the Spirit. And in pondering that truth today on this Trinity Sunday, we indeed are called to see if our lives are conformed to those truths. We must indeed ask ourselves if our lives indeed show forth our belief that Jesus is God and therefore his word is truth. We must indeed ask if we have at times in our life, while confessing that Jesus' word is truth, instead lived as if our own thoughts and our own words were truth, and Jesus' word just one more opinion to consider. We must ask ourselves if the time we spend reading the Word of God gives evidence to those around us that we believe the Word of God is God Almighty speaking to us directly. We must indeed ask in every area of our life, do we treat Jesus as God? And as we ask those questions, we will likely have to admit that at times, at least, we have not fully treated Jesus as the Almighty God in our lives. When we recognize that, we do well to confess our sins to that triune God we worship. And thanks be to Jesus. When we do confess those sins, the Father forgives our sins, because of the Son's death and through the Holy Spirit's power. And today the triune God welcomes us again to his table to celebrate and to receive that forgiveness he offers. He welcomes us to the table to give us himself. Who does Jesus make himself out to be? None other than God. May our lives as his children, and by his grace, do the same. Amen.